Hare Krishna. So today we are continuing Srimad Bhagavatam, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter number 16 of Canto 3 and verse 27. Translation. Lord Brahma said, after seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the self-illuminated Vaikuntha planet, the sages left that transcendental abode. Please repeat responsibly. Lord Brahma said,
Lord Brahma said,
after seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha,
after seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
in the self-illuminated Vaikuntha planet,
in the self-illuminated Vaikuntha planet,
the sages left the transcendental abode.
Sages left the transcendental abode.
Purport. The transcendental abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Bhagavad Gita and confirmed in this verse, is self-illuminated. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that in the spiritual world, there is no need of sun, moon or electricity. This indicates that all the planets there are self-illuminated, self-sufficient and independent. Everything there is complete. Lord Krishna says that once one goes to that Vaikuntha planet, he never returns. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha never return to the material world. But the incident of Jay and Vijay was a different case. They came to the material world for some time and then they returned to Vaikuntha. Om Jnanati Nimandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshuram Mritamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschita Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So with your permission and blessing, I shall endeavor to speak in glorification of Lord. Here, we are reaching the conclusion, end part of the pastime, where four Kumaras, having met Lord Narayan, they are leaving the abode and going back from wherever they came from. It started in a previous chapter that whole universe was covered by darkness and all the demigods were concerned, you know, what is the cause behind this? And they all approached Lord Brahma to help, to get some help. And Lord Brahma relates the history behind that. And he starts with glorifying Vaikuntha planet, the nature of Vaikuntha planet. And then he relates this history that four Kumaras, when they were wandering throughout the universe, they desire to go to Vaikuntha planet. And they crossed six gates, and at the seventh gate, they were checked by doorkeepers of the Vaikuntha planet, Jay and Vijay. And they didn't like that. And they cursed, they ended up cursing these two doorkeepers, Jay and Vijay. And as soon as the curse took place, Lord Narayan comes out and he comes out to help his devotees. And same time, four Kumaras are great Brahmanas. So he dealt with the whole situation very nicely, that he didn't offend Brahmanas and same time he protected his devotees. Apparently it looked like that four Kumaras were supposed to get punished, but they were glorified, whereas his devotees, Jay and Vijay, were supposed to be protected, but they are being punished. You know, Lord sanctioned that. We discussed this point in last class, that Lord's all activities are actually transcendental. It's beneficial for everyone. It may look different to our eyes, but it's not like that. And Lord reveals later on that yes, it's my desire. It was sanctioned by me that Jay and Vijay will go in material world. And four Kumaras also, you know, when Lord was glorifying, they got perplexed, they got confused. You know, what is happening here? You know, we are culprits. They themselves admit in their prayers that, you know, we are covered by passion and ignorance. So Lord should punish us. You know, but whereas Lord is glorifying us. So what is happening? You know, we don't quite sure what are the intentions of Lord Narayan here. You know, because he's glorifying us, we are supposed to be chastised. On the other hand, so this is the background, and here previous verse. Lord Narayan leaves. He sanctions the curse, and he orders four Kumaras, Jay and Vijay, to leave the Vaikuntha planet and go to material world. So here Lord Brahma again resumes his speech to demigods, and Lord Brahma is saying that after this incident happened, these four Kumaras left the Vaikuntha planet and they went back to the place where they came from. So here the Sanskrit word used, Nayanananda Bhajanam, and Prabhupada translates that Nayana Ananda. Nayan means eye, and Ananda means pleasure, and Bhajanam is producing. So these four Kumaras saw the beautiful object of the love, most beautiful person in the whole creation, Lord Narayan. They saw that gives pleasure to the eyes. Prabhupada in the shloka Brahmaji mentions that Lord's beauty is unparalleled. No one is so attractive and so beautiful than him. And we saw that painted by BBT artist, that, you know, four Kumaras are visiting Vaikuntha planet, same incident. And then as soon as they saw Lord Narayan, they all got, you know, very much attracted. One Kumar is looking at lotus feet and he got shocked, you know, oh, they're so beautiful. Other person sees other limbs. One four Kumara keeps his hand on his chest, and, you know, he just fell in love with Lord Narayan like that, you know. So all four Kumaras are so much attracted to see the Lord and his beauty. We know that story. Ramanujacharya, there was one man. He was very much attracted to one lady, and he would go with that lady even in marketplace, you know, carrying one umbrella over that lady's head. See, we are talking about the culture many hundreds years back, and it was very different. It is not like today, you know, where both sex are mingling freely in public place. No, that time it was very shocking to see such a scene. So this person was carrying umbrella over that lady and walking on the street, and everyone would just disapprove seeing this, you know. But this man didn't care. He would just keep looking at this lady's face, and he would walk around behind her as if, you know, very handpacked husband. So Ramanujacharya happened to pass by with his devotees, and he saw that, and then he thought, this is not quiet, you know, I must correct. And so Brahmana's duty is to correct if something is going wrong, you know, something is improper. That's their duty. So he talked to that man and he said, he explained, this is not proper. So he said, you know, but what can I do? There is nothing more beautiful than this lady's eyes.
if you can find me something more beautiful than that, then I will happily give it up. And then Ramanujacharya said, okay, you come tonight, I'll take you to one place and I'll show you the greatest beauty you have ever seen. So that man agreed, okay, I'll come. And then that night, in the evening time, Sandhya time, when Aarti was performed in Sri Rangam temple to Ranganath, Lord Ranganath, that man happens to come. And then Ramanujacharya shows him the beautiful darshan of Ranganath ji. And as soon as he saw Lord's eyes, he just fell in love with Lord Vishnu, you know. And then he says, yes, you are right, you know, there is nothing more beautiful than the Lord's beautiful face and his beautiful eyes. So that's true, you know, that's true. Here someone can say, well, we are also seeing Lord every day in our temple, but we don't get that attraction. We don't feel that, you know, oh, this is the most beautiful form I ever see. What's the difference? Here Ramanujacharya actually, by his great power, great potency, great love for the Lord, he invested that love to that person. You know, it says love attracts love, and one can receive love from one who has love, you know. So Ramanujacharya is of course great devotee of Lord, so he can impart that love in whomever he desires. So here in our case, we also see a beautiful form of Lord, our Lordship Sri Sri Gaur Nitya Radha Vallabh Jagannath Balli Sudharamai. But personally speaking, you know, how many times we feel that, you know, oh, this is the most beautiful form of the Lord and most beautiful person we are seeing. You know, hardly that feeling comes in our heart. Why is that? It's been explained in Bhagavatam that Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochana. So when our eyes are anointed with love of Godhead, then we can see Lord's presence, Lord's beauty through our the same eyes. Srila Prabhupada, once he was traveling somewhere in some temple, and in morning when he had a darshan of Radha Krishna, he commented that why Lord Krishna looks tired, you know, he is tired, he looks tired, his face. Then devotees found out, Prabhupada found out later on, that they changed this schedule of Lord's worship, you know. So here in our temple we put them to bed around 9:30. So in that temple, that time Sankirtan, book distribution was on their on their first priority, like they considered, you know, it's very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. So in order to facilitate book distribution, they happened to change the schedule. Devotees would go for Sankirtan till late, and maybe there were some lack of brahmanas who can worship the Lord on proper time. So they somehow changed the schedule, and the Lord would go a little bit late for rest, and they would wake him up a little bit early. So Lord didn't get enough rest, and Lord Krishna was looking very tired, and Prabhupada noticed that, you know. But how many times we see and we notice, you know, Lord's mood? Hardly. So when one has love for Godhead, they can see Lord in their Archa Vigraha and everywhere else as well. Mahaprabhu used to see Lord everywhere. When he would go to Chatak Parvat, pass by Chatak Parvat, he would think, oh, this is Govardhan, and he would see Lord's Leela on that hill. He would see Lord's Yamuna pastimes, you know, playing in Yamuna river when he was passing by the sea. And he would see Lord's forest pastimes when he was passing by Jagannath Vallabh Garden in Jagannath Puri. You know, so Mahaprabhu would see Lord everywhere. There was no question where God is not. You know. But in our case, it's hard. we can't see. And nonetheless, we also have little bit experience, little bit glimpse, you know, especially if you have experienced, if you have done something extra, you know, in your day, for example. You have gone beyond your capacity, beyond your limit, and you have done something extra to please devotees, to serve Radha Vallabh. And when you come back for darshan next day, you know, you will see Lord's expression. They are smiling at you. You know, they are very much pleased. You have done something more than what you can do, you know. So that comes very occasionally, isn't it? For example, after coming back from book distribution, you know, when you see Lord, you know, they both are smiling, you know, God and I. They are pleased, that means. So different expressions are also seen. We have also got some glimpse that, yes, this Lord present here, they are not just made of stone, wood. They are not just statues, but they are there. They are here as a person, and they are happy to reciprocate with us. But provided our sincerity is there to please them and to please his devotees. So here, Narayana Ananda Bhajanam, they saw, Lord Brahma says, they saw the beautiful Lord, and then they went back to the place they came from. So the point here I was trying to make, that we can see the Lord not through our blunt eyes, not through our gross, you know, ball of matter, but we can see Lord through service. Service is an expression of love. When we love someone, we happily would like to do something for that person. So, as I mentioned, love attracts love, and love is received by someone who has love. You know, otherwise, you cannot force someone to love you. Neither, and especially bhakti. Bhakti is said is causeless. In previous class, I did mention this point. You know, what it means that bhakti is causeless. How bhakti is causeless? What does it mean? Causeless means there is no cause behind it. One can say, yes, no cause means by chance. You know, for example, someone becomes rich, someone wins a lottery, or someone finds money on the road, and oh, by chance I got, you know, it's by luck. So, in other words, by chance or by luck, that means it's karma, basically. You know, the person was supposed to get some money from the road, get some wealth, you know, so he got it, you know. So it was his karma to get some wealth, so he got it by that. So by chance indicates actually by karma, by good karma or bad karma. So bhakti comes by chance? No. You know, if that is so, then, you know, one can say then bhakti is dependent on karma. If someone has good karma, then he will get bhakti. Someone has bad karma, he will not get bhakti. So then bhakti is actually subordinate to karma. Is it true? No. So bhakti is not dependent on karma. It's independent. So we can refuse like that, you know. No, causeless doesn't mean that by chance or by luck someone gets mercy. So then what is the cause? In Bhagavatam, few places, this causeless word, the used Sanskrit word used for that is yadrichhaya. So that word actually comes from word icha. Icha means desire. So whose desire? Then question comes, whose desire behind this, that, you know, such and such person will get mercy and such person will not get mercy? Does Lord desire that? But that is also not correct. Lord also doesn't desire that who should get mercy, my mercy. You know, because if that is so, then one can argue that, well, Lord is partial. He is choosing that one person gets mercy, whereas, you know, he is choosing this person shouldn't get mercy. You know, so Lord is partial. But we read from Bhagavad Gita that Lord is impartial. He is equal to everyone, isn't it? So whose desire is that? That mercy falls on someone. So then when we take it further, it's desire of the devotee. That Ichha refers to desire of the devotee who has love of Godhead, and he chooses whom to give. You know, he and devotee is also same in same mood, he distributes freely without discrimination. You know, so practically whoever comes in a contact with a pure devotee who has love of Godhead, who has divine love, by that desire the love flows to the other person. And same time in this connection, the Ichha of the receiver is also very important. Devotees may go out and distribute books, for example, you know, and they approach everyone without discrimination, old, young, without seeing any nationality, everyone. But many people will take and many people will not take, isn't it? So same time, the Ichha of the receiver is also important. So little bit Ichha all of us we had to get the divine love, and that's how that divine love flow to us, you know, it was given to us. So that's how this causeless mercy actually comes. And why it is says causeless? Because again, devotees who receives this mercy, they never think themselves, you know, yes, I deserve this. You know, they always think, you know, I'm just rascal number one, you know, I just got it without qualification. So that's how they call it, it's causeless, you know. It's not me who actually caused the bhakti to flow on me. So, the point, that's how we can see, love attracts love. I have a little bit love, I would like to serve Lord, so Lord's mercy flows to me. And it says, that's why it says, you know, Lord's mercy, one can see the Lord by a proper mood, proper mood in service, you know, service and with proper mood. It's not by just lip service. One can say that, yes, I love Lord. I love. I accept God. I love Him. You know, and I like Him, and so forth. But it, many times it just can be a lip service. You know, what you do, if you love someone, you end up doing something to please them. So your love is been expressed through service. There was one lecture I was listening. I did mention this story, but I would love to repeat again. It's very nice, very, very, very instructive. So there were some devotees who went to Vrindavan for parikrama, and after parikrama of 30 days, they gathered, and one devotee was giving lecture, concluding lecture. And then he asked everyone this one question, that what did you pray during your parikrama, Vrindavan parikrama? And many devotees answered many ways, but one particular answer he was reflecting on. So he said, one person answered that I was praying to Lord Krishna that, you know, by end of parikrama I would be able to listen your flute. So this devotee who was giving class, he addressed that, yes, it's very nice desire, but I have something better than that. You know, you can pray, before even you pray to hear Lord Krishna's flute, you can pray something else. You know, and that is what, you can pray that when I chant, Lord, please allow me to hear your holy name, you know. So it is like that, you know, we have lofty aspirations, we have great, you know, desires. I want to see the Lord, but through our action actually we don't mean it, you know. Our action speaks louder than our voice, it says. So in our chanting especially, you know, our real motives, real mood is being reflected. When we chant the holy name, we don't care even to listen the holy name, and then we desire, okay, I want to see the Lord, you know. That sequence, Nama, Rupa, Guna and Leela, you know, they all is revealed one by one. You know. So first we have to work is on holy name. We have to try to hear the holy name very attentively. Then all other things, his Rupa, his Guna, his Leelas will be revealed eventually. But we don't just act as if, you know, I want to hear Krishna's flute, but I don't care, you know, listening holy name. So it's not just lip service, it's by service, proper service attitude that enable us to see the Lord. Then here in purport, Srila Prabhupada writes a few more points that this Bhagavad Gita, he refers the Bhagavad Gita verse, and he mentions that in Bhagavad Gita it is said that in the spiritual world there is no need of sun, moon or electricity. This indicates that all the planets there are self-illuminated, self-sufficient and independent. And Lord Krishna further says that once one goes to that Vaikuntha planet, he never returns. So Srila Prabhupada is referring the shloka from Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 15, verse number 6. There Krishna says the same thing. The supreme abode of mind is not illuminated by sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. So how do we understand that? Prabhupada explains. So here, Prabhupada says, it doesn't mean that, you know, there are no sun or moon in spiritual world. They are there. In Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, we see, you know, Lord has different pastimes in different time of the day. There is day and night, different seasons are coming, you know. So everything is there. But actually, Lord is not dependent on them, but rather they all are there to enhance Lord's service. That is the point. Prabhupada is mentioning that the sun, moon, we are here dependent on them. Without, if there is no sun, then you know we won't be alive. You know, we are pretty much dependent on presence of sun. But in spiritual world, it is not like that. Rather, they are there to enhance Lord's pastimes. And another point is that whoever goes there, they never return to this material world again. So here we can see, especially in relation to this pastime, these four Kumaras. So they reached Vaikuntha planet, isn't it? They reached and they saw the Lord. But after that, what did they do? They returned. So someone can say, well, they reached Vaikuntha planet and they left. You know, how can that be? And then other case is Jay and Vijay, that they are serving the Lord in the spiritual world, in the Vaikuntha planet, and they are pure devotees. But how come they fell down? So answer is that four Kumaras, they were Brahmavadis. So they didn't actually developed full love of Godhead, and that's why they also mention themselves that, you know, they are covered by mode of passion and ignorance, and they cursed two faultless devotees of the Lord. So actually they were not completely pure, and they didn't even enter the Vaikuntha planet. They were just on the door. So that also says that you know, actually someone who reaches supreme abode, they never return. But here in this case, you can say like that, because four Kumaras didn't have pure love of Godhead, and they didn't actually reach the Vaikuntha planet. And in regards to two doorkeepers, Lord himself mentions that it is sanctioned by me, it is my arrangement. So it is a special case, as Prabhupada writes in the purport. So two friends, they are friends, but on the stage they happen to fight with each other as an enemy. You know, so they came in the material world to take part in Lord's pastime, to put up one show, you know, and to give pleasure to Lord in form of chivalry ras, and they fought with Lord. So the special arrangement. So they never actually fell down in that sense, and then very soon they return back to God again. And if we connect this thing to our situation, how did we fell down? You know, someone can say, well, we were also with the Supreme Lord in spiritual world, but now we are here and we are suffering, and it looks like, you know, we are here for eternity, for ages we are sitting here and suffering. So what was the answer? What is the answer? In Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni also, when he was addressing Yudhishthira Maharaj put up same question actually, that later on in the 6th canto, the same story of Jai Vijay got cursed comes, little reference is there. And there Yudhishthira Maharaj puts the query. He was also confused, he was astonished, you know, this is very bewildering to me. This pure devotees, Jai and Vijay, how come four outsider people come and they curse this pure devotee and they have to leave the Vaikuntha planet? You know, this is most bewildering to me, Yudhishthira Maharaj says. And Narad Muni explains that, and he gives same answer basically, this Lord's arrangement. But there is another answer for us to understand in our situation, why we are here in this material world. So in 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Narad Muni is telling the story of Puranjana, in that this Brahmana, who is none other than Supreme Lord, you know, Paramatma, comes in a form of Brahmana, and he speaks to Puranjana and he mentions this thing, and that's where you can refer why we came to this material world. Answer is given there. So I will read that translation. The Brahmana continued, "My dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world." So here Lord says that, you know, you had intimate friendship with me, but same time we all have free will. So at one point you misused the free will. Unfortunately, you gave up my company and you accepted the position as the enjoyer of this material world. So this is the same story with all of us. You know, free will is never taken. Even if we reach spiritual world, free will is never taken from us. So at one point of time we have misused the free will, and we chose to leave Lord's company and we came here. So that's the answer. I remember my nephew when he was very young, less than 1 year old. So he would like to touch the lamp, you know, when my mother was offering puja to Durga Devi. So he was trying to touch, you know, and then everyone would pull him aside. But then nonetheless he was, you know, just trying to touch. So at that time I was also there, and I wasn't devotee, but you know, somehow idea clicked, you know. So I said, you know, okay, let him touch. Then he happened to touch, and then he started crying very loudly. So then afterwards, you know, to make more fun, I would take that lamp and go with him, go where he was, you know, and then he would run away, you know. So he wouldn't do that. So Prabhupada, and they're saying actually, once, you know, once burnt, twice shy, you know. So it's like that, you know, once we have experienced the agony of being in this material world, how terribly we suffer, and when we again be with the Lord, we never would like to come back in this material world. So yeah, and other point I was thinking, see, we especially speaking to myself, you know, we know this, okay, this material world is very bad, we're supposed to leave this world and, you know, engage ourselves in nice bhakti and then we go back to Godhead. But many times I see, you know, my attitude also is like that, my nephew, you know, although we know and we get burnt, but still repeatedly we commit same mistakes what we have done, you know, in the past. And I could see that attitude, especially when it comes to chanting the holy name again, you know. So the fact that I am chanting inattentively, that itself shows that, you know, I am not serious. You know, I still hope that, you know, there is some enjoyment in this material world. I still want to enjoy. You know, if I was really convinced and fully understood the purport, then I would chant very attentively, you know. But repeatedly, you know, although I have learned enough lessons, but still, you know, when it comes to do some service, practical service, and especially chanting, my attitude doesn't reflect, you know, that I am serious. No. So I see that childish, foolish behavior within myself also when it comes to, you know, such thing actually, especially chanting. So I would end here. If anyone has any question, please ask. And then today is Lochandas Thakur's disappearance day. Oh, sorry, it's appearance day, I think. Let me see. So I have one... Sorry, I didn't bring that. I had one paragraph from Desire Tree about his life. So I would love to read, but actually I didn't bring that. Sorry. So if anyone has any question, please put forward and we shall conclude. Yes, probably. Yes.
Can you explain that, how that works with accumulation of bhakti and peace?
Accumulation of?
Abhagyata security, like,
yes.
We do unknown,
yes,
emotional,
yes,
service. Can you explain how it goes together?
Yes. So, I was reading Bhurijan Prabhu's My Glorious Master, in that Bhurijan Prabhu reflects. Sorry? He says, I said that bhakti comes from devotees, you know, who has pure love of Godhead, you know, and they are freely distributing. So, in that relation, how do we understand that ajnana sukruti, right? That one here? Ajnana sukruti. How someone accumulates ajnana sukruti, and what's the relation between these two? Isn't it that question? Yeah. So, in that book, Bhurijan Prabhu mentions he had the same query, and he was thinking of himself that, you know, actually, I don't deserve, you know, I know who am I, you know, but still, see, here I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, you know, within few months I have picked up, I'm chanting, and I'm so much attracted to Prabhupada and, you know, whole movement. But same time, you know, I see many of people, they are not taking up. There was one devotee he was referring, that he got this chanting, seeing some other devotees, and then he went to his hometown. He started talking and preaching to his friends. And many came to Prabhupada, and they eventually became disciples, Srila Prabhupada's disciples. So Prabhupada inquired, you know, where have they come from? You know, and then devotees found out that such and such person in that town, he actually referred and he brought them. So Prabhupada asked, you know, where is he? You know, he never came to see me. So devotees, Brahmanand Prabhu was in contact with him. So Brahmanand Prabhu said, well, he feels that, you know, he is not yet ready. You know, this is too much for him. You know, he doesn't want to get involved. But see how it worked. You know, he ended up chanting for some time. He spoke to some people and they ended up becoming Prabhupada's disciple. But that person who initially was talking to those devotees, he didn't take up Krishna consciousness. So Gurujan Prabhu was thinking, you know, how is that? You know, I just picked up, but other didn't pick up. So explanation is given that, you know, same time we have quantity of agyata sukruti. And again, same example you can take of a book distribution. That when we go, many people take books, many people don't take. But they are coming in contact with Krishna somehow or other. They are seeing the devotees, they are talking to devotees, they are touching the book. They may read something, you know, on the street, and then they decide not to take. So like that, little by little, they are getting sukruti. But they don't know what is it. You know, so that's why it's called agyata sukruti. They are unaware of the power of the bhakti, elements of bhakti. So by this thing, by having prasadam, by coming to temple and seeing lordships, so many, many different aspects of bhakti, people accumulate sukruti. And then when it reaches to a certain point, then one day, you know, they will happily take up. You know, so Burijan Prabhu was mentioning that, you know, yes, I must have performed. I must have enough quantity of agyata sukruti that this life I am just immediately picked up. And others, those who are not picking up, they don't have yet enough sukruti. But eventually, they will. So that's how it works. But yes, devotees are happily distributing without discrimination to everyone. So there is no loss or diminution in that sense, you can say, you know, someone takes up or someone doesn't take up, still is not lost, they are gaining something. Is it clear?
Yes. The important element is the association of the devotees.
Yes.
Because a person may have accumulated a degree of sukriti, and usually that's as a result of the mercy of the devotees, but it's not until they come into contact with pure devotees.
Yes. Thinking in that subject, that being Indian, you know, we have that culture, you know, through childhood we went to different temples and, you know, did so many things, you know, but never picked up bhakti, you know, but there was some piety coming and accumulating, you know, agyata sukruti was coming.
Pick up the bhakti automatically because that's part of the culture.
And when
that's
we...
That's why Chaitanya Charitamrita says, and that's why Prabhupada says that a birth in Bharat Varsha is highly elevated. Because,
yeah,
you know, you scratch the surface of the bhakti comes out,
yes,
automatically.
But I'm pointing out to that same point you mentioned, that unless you are coming in touch with devotees of the Lord, you know, that won't ignite. So same thing happened, you know, then we came to ISKCON Melbourne and then we, you know, met devotees and then it sprouted, it ignited, you know. So again, sukriti was accumulating, but until we reached in connection with, you know, devotees of the Lord, it didn't sprout.
Then they very quickly come to a steady
samskaras of you know, just things like going to the temple regularly, every day. And so you come to Melbourne from India, and then what do?
Oh, I want to go to the temple.
So you go and see the deities, and then automatically you engage in devotional service, pay your obeisance, you know, bow down, you know, all the different things, take charanamrita, and you just do it automatically.
Yeah.
People over the road, they live right next to the temple, they never come and see the deities, they complain about the noise of the chanting.
Yeah.
They don't have the security. So just by that birth and by associating with all of that devotional practice or religious practice, because sometimes, you know, there's worship of the demigods or whatever, which is not as advanced as say, coming to see Krishna. But still there's that benefit.
Yes.
And when we come in the association of the devotees, then we get that benefit. But, oh, what's the time? Oh, I've got to go to my bloody quick. Ooh, okay. Off we go. By the association of the devotees, then we get caught up in the enthusiasm and the determination of the you know, the basic activities of the personal service by the association.
It reminds me of one sentence Radhana Swami spoke in one of the lectures. He said, when you are in association with devotees, it's just a matter of time. You will become first-class devotee. And then another way around, he says, it's just a matter of time. If you are not in association of devotee, in matter of time, it's just a matter of time, you will become again non-devotee. So he was stressing the importance of association of devotee. You know.
But it is interesting, isn't it? Because Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, anybody who goes to Vaikuntha doesn't return to the material world. But then he said, but this is not the case.
Yes.
This is not the case in this. This is a different case.
Yes, Jaya and Vijaya, yes. Can I share one more point from Mahabharat? Something on that line it comes. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he agreed to go for gambling when invitation came from Kauravas. So, other Pandavas also asked same question, and till today many people would ask, you know, he is devotee of Lord and he is so perfect, you know, why did he go for gambling? You know, so in Mahabharat itself there is explanation given. That Yudhishthira Maharaj says that whatever comes in my mind, that is Lord's desire. Because he was so confident that, you know, I am, my mind is pure, you know, and this desire came to go and gamble, you know, it cannot be against dharma, you know, it comes, it's there because Lord's desire is there, you know, something Lord has arranged. So he, Yudhishthira Maharaj, says that. And in Bhagavad Gita there is a reference that, you know, one can have connection with Paramatma. People will say, you know, Bhagavan is in my heart, you know, I can listen to him, you know, I don't have to come to temple to see him, and, you know, like that. I can be with God, I can connect with God in my heart. But the requirement is, one has to be completely pure in their actions, you know, their mind and senses has to be completely pure, you know, so completely self-controlled. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was self-controlled, and his mind was pure, so he was confident. So even the thoughts comes in his mind, they are not against dharma. You know, so that's why he very empathetically says, you know, this must be Lord's desire. And then that's why he agreed to go for gambling, and then whole pastime unfolds. And, you know, it was Lord's desire to annihilate miscreants, you know, eventually. So yes, apparently it looks like that he went through such a controversial thing. And Jay Vijay also, you know, went and, you know, became demons. But actually they are facilitating in Lord's pastime, you know, to please him.
Well, of course we have to be careful with that.
Yeah. I mean, we can't say like that.
Lord's desire must be facilitating his pastimes. But actually it's just complete one.
Yeah. So that's why, I mean, Bhagavad Gita says, one has to be completely self-controlled. Their senses and mind has to be fully under control. Then Paramatma will reciprocate with you. You
can have connection. And, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj gambled everything, including his wife.
Yeah.
What's going on here? Not to be imitated.
Not to be imitated.
And of course, that's very controversial also, that, you know, especially, well, at least in this day and age, that Krishna wanted to destroy so many people.
Yeah.
But that's so hard for people to understand.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, we said, in the light of recent events where we have people going on a crusade and, you know, saying, you know, we're doing this in the name of God, and all of you people benefit from us killing you.
Right? Yeah, we are helping you. We are saving you.
Even you don't know it.
Yeah.
You can't appreciate it. In fact, you know, we can blow ourselves up and we're all going to heaven.
Okay, shall we end for you?
Yes.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Nitai Gaur Brahmanandev. All good, Shri Prabhupada.